Hello and welcome to episode 158 of Wing Sauce. Vegas is only 3 wins away from a cup, and they just won game one last night. What a game that was. What a save by Aiden Hill.
Oh, 100%.
Oh my gosh. I think that has to be easily the save of the playoffs.
That's what I was saying.
Nothing fails in comparison to that. That was just insane.
Yeah. I forget who shot it.
It was Cousins. I think it was a feed from Kachuk, and it was a one touch, supposed to be just a easy tap and goal for Cousins.
Yeah. And he thought, well, I was asking because he thought, so he shot it, and you can tell, I mean, I've been in that situation so many times where the goalies just make a crazy save, like diving across the net. But you almost like think it went in. So you get like a little bit relaxed. You could tell right away that he stood up ready to celebrate. And then he saw the paddle go down, and
he was like, wait a minute, the puck's not in.
Yeah. Like he could, if he just knew that the save was going to happen, he had enough time to go to the net and get his own rebound. But because he thought it already went in, he kind of stood up, gave up on the play, not saying, I mean, that's crazy circumstances. I don't like blame him for thinking that it was going to go in, but yeah. You just got to go to the net, I guess. I mean, there's nothing really you can do in that. That's just an unbelievable save. Like you said, save of the playoffs. One of the better saves I've seen in like my entire life. So what are you going to do?
You know what it reminded me of was the save that Braden Holtby had on Vegas, actually, back in 2018. Mm-hmm. And that kind of solidified them winning the cup. So
They brought that up. They showed that replay on the broadcast. Same thing. It's very similar, Tyler. What's your point? You know, coming across with the paddle save,
the stick save. I mean, Connor, have you ever been stopped by a stick before like that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I find the goalie no matter what. I mean, the goalies are throwing stuff out there when they're out of position like that. I mean, this isn't the goalie's fault. He's playing the puck, and there's a slide across the net, across the crease for a backdoor tap in. But all you can do is just throw your glove, your blocker, your stick anywhere at the net, hope it hits you. And I mean, in that case, it's tough to actually going to the puck, going kind of away from the net, going towards the corner. If you're a player, it's kind of hard to get any leverage on getting the puck off the ice. So you're not really thinking about that. You see a wide open net, so you just one touch it in. But for a goalie's perspective, I mean, I'm sure he's not thinking about where he can get his pads, a stick. He would have put it anywhere in the net just to get back somewhat in position. And he made a save, got lucky. I think it was just like, it was a little bit of the story of, if it happened for Florida, it's like, all right, they beat all these great teams. And it's like, wow, it's just like Florida's Cup. They, you know, the luck of the Irish type of deal. But with Vegas, I mean, maybe this is that was kind of their indication of like things are, the puck's bouncing away right now. You need breaks. Everybody always says that when you win, doesn't matter if you're the best team or the worst team that wins. When you look back at a playoff run, there's so many breaks that break your way that you just need that puck luck. And right now they're getting it.
So I'm going to tell you right now, that first shorthanded goal by Florida was pretty deflating. I was like, are you shitting me? This is how the game's going to start, shorthanded goal. And I mean, the play was, in my opinion, was horrible. Like the guy broke a stick, he's going back to to get a stick. The guy in the zone, like, I don't know where he's passing to. Like he's passing back. It was a shitty pass. That's what I'm trying to get at. The pass
it was a pizza.
Yeah, dude, it's a fucking horrible pass. And then like the guy getting a stick, like is skating so hard back into the offensive zone. He like pretty much skates past the guy who got the puck. And then
Stahl?
Stahl, it's past Stahl, essentially. And I was just like, I don't know.
For the wraparound?
Yeah, I'm just like, if this is going to be how the game's going to look, like, this is going to be horrible. Like, I was
And then Aiden Hill, like, accidentally knocks it into his own net. That's how the game starts. Yeah. And then that total reversal of luck, you know, when Cousins tried to tap it in, and then I felt like that was redemption, and that was just a surefire sign that was their game.
Well, so I mean, I said the series is gonna be chippy from the start. You know, you had that little skirmish down below, a Cousins coming in. I think it was Cousins coming in and like essentially like, you know, jabbing Aiden Hill, and he got a 2-minute penalty, and they're all pissed about it. Essentially, because been a like a 5-on-5 or maybe a 4-on-4.
Yeah, like offsetting or whatever.
Yeah. On that, though, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, talking about skirmishes, I was going to say that the one that Tkachuk had in the end of the game, that I felt like that was kind of, I was telling in the chat, I felt like after he got that game misconduct, they were kind of flat, you know, from that point forward, it seemed like.
Yeah, what time was that? Was it 4-2 at that point, though?
No.
Oh, that was that one. That was before his pizza at the middle.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, with Stone knocking it down.
Yeah, that was nasty. That was nasty.
Close to a high stick. Yeah, I mean, I was happy.
So on that though, did you hear the rules official like break down like what high sticking is? It's at the normal height of a player. So say he's bent down, they have to do the normal height, and it's so hard to be like, oh, well, him standing up and the puck, and it's like...
What a stupid, vague...
But that's how it's written in the... That's how it's written in the rules, though. It's literally written in the rules.
But
it's like,
just makes no sense. Like,
but that's why I was so quick to like look at it and be like, okay, it's a goal, because there's not really in, you know, conclusive evidence.
He's not
going
way up in the air. Yeah. I liked it when it was at like the crossbar, because that was the rule a little while ago. Like, it doesn't have to be the crossbar. Maybe that's too low. Maybe that's, you know, whatever. But
well, think about if you're 6'3". Like the crossbar, you know, is
yeah, but it doesn't matter. What's the normal height is like still an arbitrary type of like line in the sand. It doesn't. What I was saying is, I liked it when it was the crossbar because it was conclusive. Where you still had people upset, like people would be upset when there was a goal because they'd be like, "Oh, what, that was below or above or whatever." But at least you had some type of line. Right now, you're just getting upset at nothing. You're like, "Oh, because the ref wanted to call this good or not good," or like, I mean, what if that was an overtime, like what if that's game seven in overtime or like third period or whatever.
I know, but it comes back to like, I feel like it's kind of similar to Vegas when they had that five minute game major that pretty much was like ruined their chances at the playoffs. I feel like those type of things, like hopefully the NHL comes back and says, all right, we need to actually make a clear definitive rule. We can't have normal, because you can't have, to your point,
I think
Connor,
they changed that like from last year when there was all of the, I forget what the actual rule change was, but they changed a lot of that so there wasn't a something crazy to happen for a team. I don't even know what the rule was, but I know that they changed that, so like maybe this year it's the same thing if something happens where there's a high stick. But it doesn't have to be like, but it should put like a some type of sensor all around the glass where you can't even see it, and it's like, hey, high stick is at, you know, this 6 feet, yeah, or like 5-7, what, you know, whatever it may be. And then it's just a sensor and it goes, you can have like a flat line across when you review it, be like, oh, mm-hmm, nope, it's over here. Almost like what they do
soccer,
in tennis or soccer. It's like,
tennis is a great way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like such a clear, and it doesn't have to be long, but high sticks are reviewed no matter what. So it's the same reviewal, just now it's correct and it's quick.
And it's not like they don't have that like analytical
technology.
Power.
Oh, they have.
That's what I'm saying, because we have like all that puck movement. Like we've seen it since, you know, the All-Star break, a lot of puck movement, like how hard pucks are hitting, yeah, stuff of that nature. So yeah, they definitely have the technology. So I don't know why not.
Yeah, the hard part will be like how much of the puck needs to be over. How, you know, it's going to be like a goal at that point. And my thing would be like,
but
just make it conclusive one way or the other. I don't really give a shit. Just make sure that's a line, so it's not just.
But like then it goes back to the point, like, why can't you have it on the goal line? So when the puck actually goes across, like, there's not those like, oh, did it or didn't. Like, you know how sometimes you're breaking it down so deep, it's like we can't put a sensor on that goal line. That's once the puck's fully across, it's, you know, that you, well, you know it.
But then you're relying completely on technology.
No.
You need to be able to see it, like,
Tyler, I'm not saying
to
that.
The eye.
I'm saying, I agree. I'm just saying that's like, so in soccer they have the, what is that thing called, like the. Yeah. AVF or whatever. That's what I'm saying. So that at that point, like, you can go look at the AVF and it's like, oh, actually.
Yeah, but the difference in soccer though is that you get to see the ball. Like what Tyler's saying is that you're if a goalie's completely covered it and you don't see the puck, and then we're just, and then the technology's saying, hey, that, no, the goal went in, there's gonna be a lot of angry fans on that team that just got like not screwed, because probably 99% of the time,
it's not
even 100%.
Evidence.
Yeah.
No, but
yeah,
but then it's still the ref still has the final say. It's not like the AVF, like I don't really know soccer rules too well, but I watched a little bit. I'm pretty sure the ref can still say no, like even though the AVF's like, oh, this is what I see, the ref's like, no, I don't
oh,
think
really?
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I could be mistaken, but that's how I feel like it should be regardless.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I think in they do have like the same or similar type of technology in hockey. I mean, I've seen it. We put the little like gray wall up and you can see like, mm-hmm, oh, it's cross. But the difference that people were asking for is like, should there be a sensor in the puck? So then it allows you to see definitively if something crossed. So you put the sensor in the middle of the puck, and they have done that in practice games. They've given it to players, but players say they can tell the pucks that have a sensor versus not have a sensor.
I'm sure.
So it actually hurts the quality of the game. And so I agree with, until they can get a puck that you can't tell a difference and isn't going to break, isn't going to feel weird, feel hard, not have like the good bounce to it or, anything like that, or change in temperature, like the, on the ice versus when it's off the ice and waiting to be put on the ice, that all changes. So until they can get the technology of the puck right, then just leave it how it is. Keep working to have the sensor, because I do think that'll help for a lot of these, like that goal that what series was that where everybody was like, oh, I can see the white. And then some people were like, oh, and that's like the visual. It was like the second series in the playoffs.
Toronto. We talked about that where, it was Toronto where the puck was clearly over, but it was way after the whistle.
Yeah. Right. It was that way was after the whistle. And like people were looking at it and saying like, oh, well, before the whistle, you couldn't really see, but you could see the puck. It's like, well, if you had something in the line in there, and this is again, in the future, if the puck technology gets there, that would be a good additional piece of evidence one way or the other supporting either the ref's decision or what people say. So I think we'll get there at some point, but I think we're a little ways off still.
And think about how difficult, like, you can have these sensors in like football and soccer and maybe even in baseball. I feel like the hockey puck out of all sports gets the shit beat out of it every single game.
And a golf ball.
It's hitting a golf ball too. But you're hitting against, you're hitting against boards. You're hitting against, like, I don't really know if I would trust sensors in that they're not going to be like misreading things. I don't know. Yeah. It's just, that's my,
eventually guys like microchips, you can get them smaller than like your fingernail, right?
Yeah.
Tiny, tiny, tiny. So at some point, to Connor's point, maybe it's, a couple years down the line, it's going to be so minute, like so tiny, you probably won't even be able to notice it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, yeah,
but, and I think, but I do think like I'm watching the, and I don't know if you guys have watched it at all, but the F1 show on Netflix. Mm-mm. Super good.
I've heard it's super good.
I'm watching. Are you guys watching the race this morning?
What race? The Grand Prix in Detroit? Yeah. No.
No. What time does it start? Is it already started? No, it can't be. It's 8 o'clock.
Is that the one that's on Belle Isle?
No, that's the this is the one that's right by. Well, does it go over to Belle Isle? I thought this is the one that's right in front of Renaissance Center, like on.
Yeah. So there's the Detroit Grand Prix, and then there's like the Belle Isle Grand Prix. I think those are two different races, if I'm not mistaken.
So they're driving. Driving on the Detroit road. So how much do they pay to get those actually paved?
Well, I think they have to like inspect them at all from like
it way in advance.
I was like, good God, dude. Driving down Detroit that hit a pothole the size of a car. It's like, and he's gone. It's part of the race, actually.
Did you guys watch the Monaco race?
Mm-hmm. I don't watch F1, so no.
Oh, no?
I didn't watch F1 before I watched this, and now I'm like fully invested.
That was exciting. And the Indy race was exciting, too.
That's funny you say that, because that's why a lot of people – I feel like that's why a lot of people got into F1 is because of that series. And so I think that's why they're hoping the same thing for that Full Swing series for golf.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, it'd be sweet. But the hard part is that in golf is similar to F1, where it's like it's somewhat individual, but there's still a team aspect, and not like golf doesn't have the team aspect as much. But when you look at F1, I didn't know anything about the points, didn't know anything about the teams, the regulations of why aren't they just building the fastest car like possible. And that is the end goal, but like there's not, they kind of cap the budget.
There's weight restrictions and stuff.
All these different like these DRS systems that can make the car go faster, how often you can use them. So for me, it was just lack of knowledge. It's not that I wasn't interested in the sport, but I was like, first of all, it's never on TV at the times that I'm wanting to watch it, because they're like in Dubai or Monaco or Australia or something. Like they have two. There's one in Texas and there's one in Miami, one in Dallas, and one in Austin, or maybe just Miami and Austin. Either way, like those are the only two that are probably at a decent time. But now I'm like, oh, if it's on, I would definitely flip it on, because I at least have a little bit of knowledge to go off of to make it exciting. But I mean, it is insane. They're flying it. I don't know how those drivers can do it because you can't see anything when you're down in that little like cockpit.
So F1 is in Barcelona today.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wait a minute.
Well, that's the Indy. You're talking the Indy series, though.
Yeah,
that's Detroit. F1 doesn't come to Detroit.
Right. So what is this? These are Indy cars?
These are Indy cars in Detroit that go.
Which are still sweet.
Way different.
Oh, yeah. They're sweet for sure. I mean, they're different, but similar. If you don't know much about like F1 or Indy and you look at them side by side, you might be able to tell differences, but you won't know which one's which.
Yeah, Formula One's like stupid fast.
Yeah, they look like rocket ships. But yeah. I mean, Indy's the same way too, though.
Yeah, I think Formula One goes faster, right?
I actually think that they're pretty similar. Indy goes a little bit faster, but they're not as Indy good around the turns.
Yeah, Indy has the faster top end speed, but I mean,
like 0 to 100, F1's faster, and they have Indy's better. That's why a lot of the races are straight, and they don't have too many turns.
So where's the circuit? Okay. This is what I was getting confused with because I just started to get into F1 last year, and I knew that they tour all around the world, right? So the United States Grand Prix is in the Circuit of the Americas in Texas. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew that they came. I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Just pretty cool. But, the one in Miami sweep. I think the one. So which one is coming to? I thought it was F1 that was coming to Vegas.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
Let me look if this is on.
Yeah, they're doing the strip. It's Las Vegas. Grand Prix.
Yeah, it's going to be Vegas sweet. Grand Prix, and they're putting I think it's I'm going to talk about an astronomical number and somebody's going to be like, no, you're wrong. But I thought it was $800 million or $500 million to work on the roads and make sure that it's ready for F1. And then they're going to come there and it's going to be, shutting down the roads. Can you imagine? Those roads right
there. Oh my gosh.
It's crazy.
They were working on it last year when I was in Vegas for work. They were working on mapping out where mm-hmm. everyone was going to be going.
30 million. Like,
wait.
30? Well, that was just for the roads though, right?
Yeah, so the price carry out the road work is estimated to be over 30 million according to Clark County.
Yeah, I think there's a whole, so that's a piece of the entire F1 going to Vegas.
So unlike other events, F1 itself is looking after the promotion of the race. It has invested over $500 million in the product, including a permanent paddock building in Las Vegas.
Yeah, so I think that is the number. Oh, it's actually pretty close.
So why is F1 spending $240 million on a Las Vegas construction plot? So yeah, they're spending a shit ton of money.
Yeah. But
this is going to be a
F1 has stupid money.
So correct me if I'm wrong.
One sport to do it. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong though. F1 they're doing this because it's coming back to Vegas continuously.
Yeah, it'll be part of the circuit.
That's what I'm saying. That's why they're series. Yeah, that's what I figured.
Hey, so it's not like they have the same I think they have, for the most part, they have the same races, but the locations have to pay an amount for F1 to go there. Like the most a race location will pay. It's of course, it's Dubai, people that don't care about money, but they pay $50+ million every single year for F1 to come race at their track in Dubai. And that's how a lot of F1 makes a lot of money that way, is all these super rich places come and give them, $25, $35, $50 million just to go.
Did you see the suites they're building for that? That are right on the...
I can only imagine.
Dude. I mean, they're just concepts, but the it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Vegas is getting wild. So I heard Oakland A's bought land in Vegas.
Yeah.
I guess it hasn't been solidified yet, but apparently it's going to be the Vegas A's, I guess. Poor Oakland, dude. Vegas is coming and taking all their teams. You don't deserve any teams. We'll take those.
Change the team name. You don't need to be the Vegas A's.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be
Vegas Aces.
There you go.
They should do that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or something like that. Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's stupid, but I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean, Oakland gets 12 fans a game, so I mean, I feel too bad for a couple of those fans that actually go.
Don't they have a basketball team too, or no?
All of the dozens of fans. I don't know if they do.
Well, there's Clippers, Lakers, Golden State,
Oakland Grizzlies.
That's what I thought.
Memphis Grizzlies.
Memphis. That's the college.
Yeah, that's what it was. But Golden State is in San Francisco. So yeah, essentially. Yeah. I mean, it's the Bay Area. So yes. But that's crazy that Vegas is came and taking all the team. I think Vegas is trying to get a basketball team too, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably. I mean, they should just get all four major sports there.
Why don't they?
It's working well for. I mean, it's a new city when you look at the historic start date compared to all these other established cities. So it makes sense why it takes a little bit. You want to make sure that, I mean, it's been established for a while now, but you want to make sure that it can handle that many people. And like, that's a lot of people to ask to go to a game. Clearly, it's working really well for Vegas.
I mean, Vegas Raiders, like, I think they sold out like immediately their season.
Seattle's looking at, I guess the next NBA franchise is up between Vegas and Seattle.
Seattle wouldn't be bad because you can put them at Climate Arena that just got built.
Well, they already had a basketball team.
Yeah, Supersonics, I think.
Yeah. No, wasn't that a women's team?
No.
Oh. I don't know about basketball.
Wasn't it the Detroit? No, the Detroit Shock, right? That's what it was, the WNBA?
Your guess is good.
I think I went to a game.
She's like, I think I have a jersey, actually. Let me go get it.
It's actually my favorite team of all time.
It's that one hanging up right behind him.
Right? I wouldn't doubt it. Wouldn't put it past him. So what's everyone's predictions for the Golden Knights-Panthers series? I know we're kind of going back and forth, but I'm kind of curious. I know Connor, I have Vegas winning.
I have Vegas. Vegas winning. I picked I got Vegas to win the series exactly to win 4-2 at +500. So I thought those were pretty good odds. Got that before the game. So pretty happy with that. I think if they can get that next one, even if Florida wins, I think Florida might win this next game, go back 1-1. Mm-hmm. I think that it's going to be 2-2 coming back. And they're going to win 4-2.
How do you guys feel? Cause you know, Florida's a gritty team. How do you feel like Vegas is going to handle that kind of grittiness?
Vegas is just as gritty.
I do too.
Potentially even more. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're one of the only teams that can handle Vegas or Florida has these guys that are like specific gritty players, but as a team, one of the only teams that have been able to handle them so far. And you saw it yesterday is Vegas. And I think we talked about that last week. It's like Vegas is kind of, they're big, they're mean just as much as Florida's big and mean. They got the same guys and they got probably a little bit better defense. So
they have skill. They have skill.
Their fourth line last night was buzzing. Holy shit.
Deeper. They're deeper. No question about
100%.
It.
Oh yeah. And so, okay. I'm so glad I forgot. So I've heard this nonstop for the last month. So why are expansion teams so good? They shouldn't be that good. You know, they should just be trash. They shouldn't have anything. Da 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 da. And so my response was, is this because, you know, your team sucks, or, you know, talking about the Red Wings, is because the Red Wings are better or worse? And it's like, yeah. It's like, well, I feel like that has more to do with the draft lottery system than the freaking expansion teams, in my opinion. And so I was telling them, though, but the whole point of an expansion team is to expand the market, not to get here's a really crappy team to a brand new market and to have them try to get into hockey. That's never going to work. So you got to, you know, give them, we've seen it in the past. I think the Thrashers were a prime example of how bad an expansion team can be. So it's like, you think about that, like, I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts, I guess?
Well, even when the Blue Jackets were like just a pile of dog crap when they came into the league. They were like that. They were the league's doormat for like 10 years.
Yeah.
They, you know, I feel like the people who are asking those questions, Dustin, they have recency bias right now where, I mean, you look back and, yeah, of course, the Red Wings aren't doing well right now, but they won four cups in a span of 11 years. They were dominant. And so it's like people will probably say like, oh, it's unfair because they're original six franchise. Like, that doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, I mean.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, my take on it is to those people is, all right, go look on paper at the Vegas's first year and then look at where they went. And if you're going to get mad that they went far with the roster that they had, then you just don't know hockey. I mean, everybody knows that they had the roster. The roster was not a Stanley Cup contending team.
Well, so their point there. Is they should be able to protect more players. They shouldn't be like why are they getting like?
But who they didn't have anybody.
That's the list of protected players is actually.
The players that weren't protected are basically the guys that didn't get anybody that was worth a name were in not protected. Basically, was not going to re-sign with that team. So
the only big name anyway. I think the only big name I felt like Vegas got that was like okay was Fleury, but he was pushing out of Pittsburgh anyways. It's not like he was staying there.
That's what I'm saying. Is like every single big name that would have left is like all right. Well, they're a free agent, and I'm sorry to those people, but Vegas is going to be a destination where free agents want to sign. And I mean, it comes to no shock to anybody that if you're a young guy with a bunch of money, Vegas isn't a half bad place to live. So
in the desert where it's, you know, a good party city and, you know, pretty quick to get anywhere.
God, and like, horrible. And even if you're not a big partier, like for me, and if I was mid-20s or something, yeah, I'd go there. Yeah, it's fun to have you'd have people go visit you, which would be fun. You'd have
all the golfing time
all year. You'd have a sweet place because it's not that much money to like. There's no state income tax. Like, there's a lot of positives when you look at that team. So, I think it's part to do with the way the league was set up. I don't think the league was trying to create Stanley Cup contending teams the first year, but I think they were also trying to make them be competitive every year. And like, if they finished middle of the pack, point. That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Like, and they Seattle probably had the roster year. To do it. Yeah. I think that they overachieved Vegas and Seattle this year.
So, and that's my thing. It's like, I feel like also Vegas has done a good job of drafting and doing trades. Like, in my opinion, like you can't be mad because someone's done, you know, moving players around or getting players, you know,
I think coaching changes. I mean,
I was just about to say that, you know, them getting Cassie was a huge impact, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, and like, don't get me wrong, the management has really fumbled the bag a few times in their short tenure here in the league, but they've also made some good decisions, especially like allowing people that know hockey really well to come in and do what they want with the team, with the GM and the coach. I think that it's worked out pretty well to, you know, fire the people at the right time, hire the people at the right time, and hire the right people to draft correctly and create the team that we're seeing right now, which is, you know, they have a solid chance. They're the three games away from winning the Stanley Cup. So,
and we also need to like have these people understand that Vegas is a total anomaly. I don't think that we will see success like this from another. This goes outside of just hockey, but all of sports with the expansion team. 4 out of their 5 years, they've made it to the conference final, and they've been in the Stanley Cup final 2 times.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. And you look at their roster. I mean, this is the only year where I feel like maybe last year too, but there was some injuries and everything. But this is the only year where I'm like, yeah, they have a legit team that I could see winning the cup. Where every other year, I'm like, take the beginning of the year with that roster. I'm like, I don't see it. And then they go out and they overachieve. Like, that's not on anybody's fault. If anything, that's on the coach to be like, coach is doing a great job to get these guys ready to go play every game. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was the league saying like, hey, we want to stack this team, because they were by no means stacked.
And that's my point, right? Like, I feel like all these players, this is what I always call the Vegas. I think, you know, Tyler and I talked about it 5 years ago. I was like, it's the land of misfits. Everyone's like, oh, here's my misfit. I don't want him anymore. Take him. And then they're like, shit, all right, well, fuck all of you guys. I'm gonna show you how to play some hockey then. And they
they talked about that. They talked about that in the game yesterday. They had the remaining was there's 6 guys, I think, 5 guys maybe on the team still. I think it was when Theodore scored that goal from the point, which is a sweet move on the blue line. But I think that's when they brought it up, because he was one of the original misfit guys, I believe, along with like Carlson and obviously a few others.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So go ahead, Tyler.
I'm looking at the 2018 roster right now, and there's nobody that really like jumps out.
Name the biggest jump out to you, Tyler, on that roster. They're like, oh wow, I can't believe they gave him up.
I mean, David Perron at the time. He was probably the biggest name on this roster. Maybe James Neal. But other than that, like, William Carlson was kind of an undiscovered guy. He had decent obviously seasons blossomed with Columbus. Who else here? John Merrill. I forgot that he was on. He was with them. Shea Theodore. And then obviously the Marc-Andre Fleury, but yeah, I mean, this
not John, not John Merrill team. or England.
No, I said John Merrill.
Oh, you did? Okay. John Merrill's a good defenseman. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, everyone's like, oh my God, all these players. Then you like to everyone's point, like who it's not like they got McDavid or they got like right. Matthews.
Oh, Revo was on that team too.
Yeah. He was on that team. Good old Revo. But yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's just funny how people have that mentality that it's like, oh, they should get nothing, but it's like, they pretty much got nothing. And then that team somehow just meshed well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like I said, it's an anomaly. It's not, it's the type of success we're seeing out of this team, especially being new 5 years ago, you won't see it ever again.
Nope. I agree. So game two is Monday. What do you guys, what's your thought on the score?
I actually think that I picked Vegas to win the cup. Like overall, this is at the beginning with my bracket, but I want to root so badly for the Florida Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they to come in barely making it into playoffs and then just like steamrolling everyone, knocking off like the best team in NHL history, well, regular season standards. I don't know. I'm really rooting for them, but I did pick Vegas to win. So it's kind of like, what do I do here?
Yeah, I have money on Vegas, but would not be shocked, and maybe I would be shocked, but I would be delighted if Florida was going to go out and win the next game. I mean, you know me, I'd say it every time. I don't have
game really, seven. Give me the game seven.
I want to go and play as much meaningful hockey, and especially watching these two teams specifically, the way that they would play in a game seven or like a late series game would be so fun to watch. So scrappy, so gritty, dirty.
How about a game
really
five?
Fun. What do you mean game? Well, I need
you to have go to play a game five to get to game seven.
No, yeah. Just a game five. That's all, Matt. That's all I'm going to give you, boys. Just a game five.
Well, wow, that's really not kind of you to know that I have 4-2 at plus 500.
Fine, dude. You can have six games. That's still kind of iffy. I was not pleased with them last series when they were going into a game five. So,
no matter what, is going to end up with their first Stanley Cup in franchise history.
Yep, that is true. That is very true. It's exciting for both of them. Both of them are younger. Well, of course, Vegas is younger, but both of them are younger franchises too.
Yeah, I think that Florida's been around. What was their first season? 95?
I was thinking 93, but
I know they made it into the Cup Finals in 96. So I think that was their second season, if memory serves. But either way, I just go back to the old Florida Panthers jerseys with John Van Beesbrook.
96.
They started in 96.
Wait, no. 93. I was right.
So it was their third season or second or third season in that they made it to the Cup Final, which was crazy. I think they didn't have Pavel Bure back then too.
I don't know. I need to go back and refresh my. I think it was four or three. So
all I can say is the Stahl brothers on Florida. That's just, I don't know. First off, Mark Stahl is looking good. It's crazy when he was on the Red Wings. I feel like he didn't look that good.
Well, the Red Wings weren't very good.
He didn't have,
and that's what
Red Wings didn't look good.
Connor, that's what Chad said. Chad said the exact same thing. He's like, well, the Red Wings weren't that good. And I'm like, yeah, that's actually pretty fair.
It's I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum, is the Red Wings don't have players that elevate a team other than maybe like one or two guys where they can go out there like Larkin by himself with a couple guys that are decent can still go out and put points up. Is he going to like elevate the entire team to be in playoff contention like a McDavid?
So,
no, but they don't have the guy, like their team is never good enough to have like middle of the road guys to,
so real quick,
to really show.
We got it. So Toronto, we all know it's got to be moving some players. Mitch Marner, you know, has been talked about. Matthews has been talked about.
I don't think Matthews has been talked about.
A little bit Matthews has been talked about. I think it's just like maybe like less chatters. Marner, I heard, might be going to Carolina. But anywho, Matthews.
You have the same Matthews stuff.
I'll see when I can find it. So Matthews, maybe this was just Chad talking. Who knows? I listen too much to Chad. I was just there last night. We're watching hockey. So maybe Chad was saying two first rounders and then a player. And I'm like, all right, let me hear your players that you're talking about here. And he brings up Mo Sider. I'm like, you're on crack if you think you're going to give two first rounds and Mo Sider from Matthews. Like, that's not even remotely a fair trade.
No.
But then I got another hot take that Mo Sider's is going to be just declining from here on out. I'm just like, you guys are like, who gives you this information and where do you get this shit from? Because I disagree with that.
I mean, it's not even that I disagree with it. It's like not worth talking about right now because it's clearly, again, people that don't know what they're talking about. Like literally even if I didn't know what I was talking about, I'd be like, you know what? I'm not going to talk. I'm only going to rely on not just one expert, but like every expert and coach that's ever been around the game of hockey. And then they all say the same thing. It's like,
right.
Okay. I guess I'll listen to them.
So real quick though, say the Matthews trade hypothetical, right? What would you give two first rounders and a player for Matthews? I'm not saying Sider, but I'm saying two first rounders, like a prospect or something. Or do you think that's overpaid?
I don't know. I mean, I've never heard the Matthews was on the table for a trade. So it's really hard for me.
All right, Mitch Marner then. Marner's on the table. What are you going to get? If Yzerman could get him, what do you think it would be worth?
Two for first rounders is a lot.
He's not going to give up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's something that's in a conversation.
That's what I'm saying. So you don't think it's even an option?
No, the Red Wings are not a card on one of their tables. No.
What'd you say, Tyler?
I said the Red Wings are not a card on one of their tables.
So you think Yzerman's looking more at free agency as far as picking up like a bigger name or a player?
I think so. I mean, they're not in a –
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, if you need a goal scorer, then that's a great one right there. But I don't see how – where the Red Wings are at right now, you have to be so careful. This is where the GM should be making all their money, right? Like right in this stage. Because you need to get people, you need to get talent.
Yep.
But you can't give up the near future either.
Okay.
And giving up first rounders, you can't mortgage the future. And like Yzerman's got to be looking at like the 5-year plan here and even beyond, but really like the 5-year plan, because that's when you're going to be making playoff runs.
So if we were, say, in a different position, right? We've made a couple years of playoffs and we just need that extra push. Then do you think that conversation would be different about trading two first?
Yeah, because like you look at the like, hey, if you trade away a couple first rounders in later years and you have a Stanley Cup to show for it, like that's what you do. Before the draft, like Chicago was in a shit storm. Why Detroit has been, all these good teams, like Boston will be at some point. You have all these dynasty good teams that are just hemorrhaging because they. Yeah, they have cups for it, and the fans wouldn't trade that for anything. But at the same time, you got it. Like, nobody just is able to continue it forever. Like, you have to mortgage your future to win a cup. You can't not do that.
So, is Chicago coming back with a hot season with Bedard?
Well, I think if Bedard puts up a halfway decent season, they're going to address, like, people are going to want to live in Chicago and want to play with
hot take. The best players. They're not going to take him. I'm kidding.
Could you imagine?
Chicago just they don't draft him.
They're just like, who? Yeah, we're going to take take a goaltender. I don't know. All right. Anything else, boys?
No.
Nope.
I played a bunch of golf this week. Went to the Memorial Golf Tournament.
Nice.
Oh, my. We didn't even talk golf today. We talked hockey right away and then jumped into F1 for about 20 minutes.
I'm excited to watch the Grand Prix. And I mean, it's not F1, but I'm ready to watch them at 3 o'clock. When it's on
3 p.m. Gotta love it. And 9 o'clock is the Spanish Grand Prix.
Oh, perfect. Can't wait. The which one?
For F1. The one F1? At Barcelona.
Oh, yeah. Okay. At 9 o'clock.
A.m.
Like,
yep.
A.m. Oh, sweet. I'll throw it.
Yeah, normal time. Every Sunday they're on at 9 a.m.
Okay. Sweet.
Tyler knows. He's a
I'm a fan now. Max Verstappen, baby.
Are you a Max Verstappen fan? Is that your Red Bull guy?
Just by association. So Max, my brother, and my dad got into F1 before I did. Mm-hmm. I sat down, watched a few races. This guy's dominant, dude. I don't think there will be anyone better than him. He will go down as probably the best of all time.
Well, Lewis Hamilton won 7 years in a row. So I think he's got a long way to go.
I know, but I'm saying the way that this guy dominates, he's not just winning by like 3 or 4 seconds. He blows past people by like 22 seconds. Like,
yeah, but I'm saying back in like 2013, 14, 15, 16 and beyond, that's how Lewis Hamilton. So I think we got to look at the whole, whenever they stop winning, because like every year now is different because they have to build the car from scratch. So like Red Bull theoretically will continue to do it. But I think whenever they stop, which will be at some point, whether he retires or not, we have to look at like the two bodies of work. Cause like, I think that everybody said the same exact thing 3 years ago about Lewis Hamilton, like, well, he's the best driver of all time. Like,
but
there's nobody
that's
gonna touch
him. Didn't
he
switch to Mercedes?
He was always at Mercedes. I don't know where he was at before, but like he was there since he started winning when Toto Wolff was there as the team principal back in like 2000. I thought it was like 13.
Oh, see, you know more about that than I do. All I know is that Verstappen is with Red Bull. Red Bull is Honda. I think that they're
Honda Motor.
Honda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were Renault, but Honda.
Did I see something that Audi is coming in like 2025 or 6 or something like that?
Oh, maybe. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
That would be cool. Yeah.
So I don't know anything about this shit, but I'm looking apparently on the driver standings. Lewis Hamilton was number one 4 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. I think who was before Lewis Hamilton? What year was that?
So 20.
What Schumacher?
2017 was Rosberg.
And then who was in 2016?
No, 2016 was Rosberg. 2015 was Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
But then it goes.
I think he basically had it for like a very long time because there's also two championships, like the drivers and constructors. And
yeah, I'm looking at the drivers only. Yeah, so he had it in 2014, 2015, didn't have it in 2016, then 17, all the way until, I think.
But Connor's point was, like, Hamilton was absolutely dominant for,
like a decade almost,
years.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Verstappen guy, though, is he a newer driver, I'm assuming?
No, he's not, like, super new. He was right behind Hamilton for, like, starting in 2018, whenever. I don't know if he was before that. It was right around the late teens, I think, is when he kind of came in, 2017, somewhere there. He's 24 right now or something. Probably started when he was 18.
One cool thing that I like about F1, and I don't know. This is one thing that's different from Indy, I guess. And, Connor, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here. They will race even in rain, too.
Yeah.
Where F1, they won't. They'll pit the cars and wait until it's done.
Well, right? F1 races till in rain.
I meant F1 right races in rain. In Indy, they'll pit the cars.
Yeah, F1 will throw different tires on, and it's like the inter tires. I think inter tires is what they're called.
Like mud terrain tires.
Yeah, basically, and they'll go out in the rain, and it's crazy because like imagine going 200 miles an hour, you cannot see a single thing. They have like the flaps off of their visor, which they pull off. But unless you're on the front row, one of the two cars there to start, you have the cameras in the cockpit and you're looking at it. And you can't even see like your front wheels, and they're flying at like 200 miles an hour. I have they memorize the track, I guess, but
yeah,
I have no idea how they do it.
So is there like a championship?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's like, but it's like a throughout the season type of championship. Like you earn points if you're one of the top.
I see that. But there's not like a, like, I could be wrong, but back in the day, like in NASCAR, I felt like there was like a, like, I guess there's just a final race technically.
Like win it all.
Yeah. No, yeah, no. There's just a final race. Never mind. Disregard.
So I think that there is a final race, but it's like, I guess, I don't know, Connor, do you know how that works out?
Yeah, there's a final race to the season, but you could technically win the championship like three races before. Like Verstappen this year will win there'll probably be like five races left when he already clinched that.
Because he has so many points, it's not possible for anybody else.
Yeah, even if they didn't get a single point and the second place team won in first place, it's like you've already clinched like how you would in a division.
Right? Yeah, okay.
The difference when why it's still important is that the difference between second to third, third to fourth, fourth—I mean, that's like tens and tens of millions of dollars. That like the second, if you play second versus like fifth, or like third versus fifth or something, it's like millions and millions of dollars. The purse in F1 is like $900 million that gets dispersed across the team. So we're talking serious money.
Yeah, It's that's a money sport there.
Yeah.
It's funny because I was talking with, you know, my dad and Max, and I was like, well, what if Lincoln doesn't like hockey? And Max is like, well, you can get him to be like a racer.
You better start saving for college now.
My dad was like, you realize, like, if you want to continue coaching, like, you're not going to have a life. If you have a go-kart, you're going to be living out of a trailer pretty much.
Like, yeah. And I don't think there's a single, English primary speaking, person in F1 right now. Like, there's nobody they don't come from America.
Not an American born driver, right?
Not really? Not in F1 right now that
not,
I know
not
of.
One, yeah.
Yeah. They're all from like Australia and European, and they have got like American teams, and they'll be here in America. Like Haas is an American team. They're not great, but
there have been two World Drivers Champion winners, Andretti and Phil Hill.
Phil Hill, some stuff in the American, but
Mario Andretti? Are you joking?
No, I know Andretti.
I think Connor's being facetious.
Yeah, well, I didn't know which part. I said Phil Hill sounds American.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And yeah. I said you didn't know. I didn't know Mario Andretti was American, to be fair, but I thought you were saying you didn't know who that was. And I was like, what the hell?
Oh, no, I know the name. I'm just saying, like, if you said those two names, I wouldn't be like, oh, Andretti's like, if you said those two, I'd be like, oh, there's one that's clearly American and one that's like, is he Italian? Is he American? Is he like... Mm-hmm. I was saying by off the names.
Yeah, it doesn't look like there's any American drivers. That's crazy. Yeah. Wait, well, no, Logan Sargeant is American.
Oh, who's he racing?
Is this an F1?
Yeah, F1. Logan Sargeant drives for. How do you figure it out? He's blue. What's that mean?
He's blue.
I don't know.
Mercedes?
I don't fucking know.
Definitely not Mercedes.
He's got a Mercedes shirt on.
He could be. Like, it's not on Mercedes Petronas, like the main Lewis Hamilton and George
Williams.
Russell, I think is the Williams is a, like, that's where some of the Mercedes drivers come from. They, I don't know if they have that agreement how that works between teams, but Williams is a completely separate team. But they, I think they're powered by Mercedes, they buy that engine, and then they also have drivers come up that are signed by Mercedes that go to Williams first because it's like a lesser team. It's almost like a AAA team, but still an F1.
Yeah, so that's who he drives for.
Nice. That's where the George, again, I think his name is George Russell. That's where he came from before signing at Mercedes. But anyway, enough F1 talk. Let's go.
I love how we said, is there anything else? Nope. And then go on for another 10
All right. Well, let's get the puck out of here, and we'll see you boys next week.
See ya.
See ya.